From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And on today's show, we are going national and talking about the historic first ever ministerial on religious freedom for world leaders that was hosted by the U.S. State Department last week in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about what that means, what was said, and why it matters. But the message was clear. The United States is taking religious freedom seriously, and this could be a turning point for millions of people across the world who right now do not have religious freedom. We'll have comments from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and U.S. Religious Freedom Ambassador Sam Brownback. This is a huge issue, and this historic ministerial deserves more attention because it was more than just empty talk or hollow rhetoric. And this also comes in light of a really stunning new bipartisan survey that shows just how little young people in the United States currently value protecting religious freedom and why we need to change that. But first, there is still time for you and pro-life Nebraskans across the state to make your voice and pro-life values heard by submitting comments in favor of the Trump administration's proposed Protect Life rule to end Title X taxpayer subsidies of abortion. This is such an important policy. It represents a huge shift by getting taxpayer dollars away from the abortion industry, and there are just a few days left for the public to weigh in and voice their support for this policy. It is a federal change. This is at the national level. Earlier this year, Nebraska Family Alliance worked with other pro-life groups to support the governor's budget that ensured no Title X taxpayer money went to abortion providers. And now we have the chance to do that same thing at the federal level so that in no state, Title X taxpayer money can go to fund abortion. You can find out more about this rule change and how to submit a comment and make your voice heard by visiting NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And it's so important that we don't let this opportunity just pass us by. This is a crucial pro-life policy that truly could save lives, and we can still take action now. We have until July 31st to accept comments before the comment period is over. So please submit a comment and tell DHHS that abortion simply is not healthcare, and taxpayers should no longer be forced to subsidize the abortion industry. And of course, we always hear the argument that this is attacking women's health care or that we're taking essential funding away from health clinics, and that simply isn't true. This rule will not eliminate family planning services. Federally qualified health centers and rural health clinics outnumber abortion clinics 20-1, and they are eligible for Title X funds if they do not perform or refer for abortion. It's quick and easy to submit a comment, and just 1 minute of your time can go a long way because the abortion lobby is desperately trying to stop this rule change from going into effect by flooding DHHS with negative comments, and that's why your voice on this issue is so important. This was a key promise made by the president on the campaign trail, and he has followed through and took the first step by issuing the regulation. And now it's up to us to submit comments in support of the Protect Life rule and push it across the finish line. So be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, click on the action alert, and submit comments in support of the pro-life Protect Life rule to end Title X taxpayer subsidies of abortion. As we all know, the United States Constitution guarantees Americans' right to the free exercise of religion, a crucial tenet of democratic ideals and the history and tradition of the United States. I've heard it said that America didn't create religious liberty. Religious liberty created America, and I think that's true. It's so core to who we are as a nation. However, a new survey, which is a bipartisan project commissioned by the George W. Bush Institute and the University of Pennsylvania's Biden Center and Freedom House, has some surprising and particularly concerning results about how young people in the United States view religious freedom and its importance in our society. According to this new survey, only 34% of Americans aged 18 to 25 see America's democracy as absolutely important, and only 39% of respondents aged 18 to 29 feel the same way. The survey also asked respondents to select certain components or ideal that they feel or believe are the most important parts of democracy. And shockingly, and of those aged 18 to 29, only 17% selected freedom of religion as one of the most important aspects. 17%. This should serve as a huge wake-up call. Only 17% of those aged 18 to 29 see freedom of religion as one of the most important aspects in democracy. And this new data comes just after the Pew Research Center released new findings on the rise of religious restrictions around the world. In 2016, which is the most recent year that this information is available, 28% of countries had high or very high levels of government restrictions on religion. And I bring this up because, thankfully, we have an administration that is now taking this issue very, very seriously. So much so, in fact, that this past week in Washington, D.C., Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and the U.S. State Department hosted the first ever Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. This was essentially a summit whose sole purpose was to promote and advance religious freedom, and it was attended by delegations and leaders from over 80 countries. And the most encouraging thing about this ministerial, other than the fact that it happened for the first time ever, was that it was more than just empty talking points or meaningless rhetoric that serves to go nowhere. The goal, as the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made very clear, was to discuss concrete outcomes to reaffirm international commitments to protect and preserve the religious freedom rights of all people, and discuss concrete ways to combat religious persecution and discrimination and ensure greater respect for religious freedom for all. Government leaders, religious leaders, and even survivors of persecution all gathered together to share and discuss, led by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and our Religious Freedom Ambassador Sam Brownback. These are two individuals who so far have really been phenomenal in their roles, especially on this issue of religious freedom. We've seen a major shift under their leadership in the approach that the United States is taking, and importantly, how serious it is and how far up it is on the priority list, not just to protect religious freedom here, but expanding religious freedom across the world, because they recognize it as a part of our human dignity, that is a right endowed by our Creator. For example, under their leadership, the United States is calling on other countries to appoint their own religious freedom ambassadors who will push for the betterment of religious freedom within their own nation. And as Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, who also serves on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom and attended this ministerial, said, "Of course, just because leaders sit down and talk doesn't mean the problem of religious persecution will just magically disappear. But it could go a long way to starting a dialogue in some countries that, until now, have been very unwilling to discuss the topic." And although he is only 3 months into his new role as Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo has already had a huge impact on foreign policy, and this includes advancing religious freedom across the world. And his decision to bring world leaders together on this issue could be a huge turning point for millions of people who do not have the same religious freedom rights that we do in the United States. And Secretary Pompeo sat down with Tony Perkins from Family Research Council last week before, immediately prior to the ministerial, on advancing religious freedom to talk about the tangible outcomes that he wants to see, how leaders across the world can make religious freedom a priority for their people, and importantly, what the average American can do to bring greater awareness to this issue and the importance of religious freedom.
And let me first just commend you for one of your first actions as secretary is to call for this gathering of international leaders to discuss religious freedom. I want to start with the obvious question, why?
Tony, it's incredibly important in our administration, President Trump's administration, to make the case and sound the clarion call for religious freedom all around the world. You mentioned Pastor Brunson. There are many countries in which religious freedom is not available. And we believe that by gathering Citizens from around the world will have over 80 delegations from different countries. 40-plus of my counterparts at the foreign minister level will be in attendance, and religious leaders like yourself, all brought together to highlight the central nature of religious freedom, and it's important to individuals and countries. We believe that religious freedom is important for every citizen around the world, and we want to bring everyone together to discuss how all faiths have the right, people, individuals have the right to worship in the way that they choose, or if they choose not to, and every country ought to honor that.
Now, Mr. Secretary, you and I have been around government for quite some time, and a lot of times there's a lot of meetings, and there's not always tangible outcomes. I know you're a man of action. What do you hope will be the tangible outcomes of this gathering?
We expect, Tony, this to be far more than just talk. We do believe that just putting people together from all across the world in a room and talking about this topic will empower them to go back to their home country and advocate for religious freedom as well. It's difficult, Tony, as you know, in many countries to even speak about religious freedom. And so we hope to provide a support system and a basis for some of them to head back to their own countries. But we'll announce a number of initiatives. The Vice President will be speaking, Ambassador Brownback will be speaking there, and we'll be laying out a path where we are hopeful that the State Department here in the United States can lead a process where religious freedom is raised as a priority for the citizens of every country. And we will have our teams in the subsequent weeks and months in the field talking about religious freedom on a continued basis. We'll have just 3 days here, but this will be a mission of the State Department every day.
Now, Secretary Pompeo, this is the first ever, and I don't want this to be lost on our listeners. As you pointed out, this issue of religious freedom, both domestically and from a foreign policy standpoint, is a priority for this administration. This is much more than lip service. I mean, this administration takes this serious.
You've seen that with President Trump very clearly. We want people of all faiths, Christians, Muslims, Jews, people of all different faiths. We think that this forum will reinforce for countries that enjoy that religious freedom and encourage those who are on the cusp, who are in a place where it's more challenging, will help provide them a courage to continue to make religious freedom a priority for the citizens of their own countries as well. This was laid out in the President's National Security Strategy, which is unique and different from previous administrations. We do place a high priority on religious freedom, and we will continue to fight for it every place that we travel.
What has been the response from your counterparts around the globe?
It's been remarkable. I literally, as I was traveling this past week, I think I was in 6 or 8 different places, I had foreign ministers say, I'm going to be there, and I hadn't seen the list. They're excited to come be around others who believe religious freedom is important. I was in Muslim countries. I was in places with religions very different than my own Christian faith. But every one of those leaders was excited about the opportunity to gather with like-minded individuals who share the desire, the quest for every individual to be able to practice their faith in their country in the way that they wish to do.
And I know from my role at USERF that there's actually countries that are on a waiting list. There's people wanting to get to this. And
it is indeed oversubscribed, Tony, which we consider an enormous blessing.
It is.
And we're going to do our best to accommodate each and every one of them so that they can come be part of this. And it bodes well for continuity for a program like this as well. Not just these 3 days, but to make sure that there are real actions that follow from this event.
One final question for you, Mr. Secretary. I know you've got a busy schedule. What can the average American do to bring greater awareness to this issue of religious freedom, not just as an American right, but as the State Department and the United States government recognizes this is a human right? What can we be doing?
It is deeply a human right. I think we can do a number of things. I think those of us who believe in faith and prayer can pray. I think it's important for every individual to demand of their elected officials that they consider religious freedom among one of their priorities as they seek to lead and to be part of government service. And then I just think it's important that groups, we have dozens and dozens of NGOs that will be attending this, to support groups like that and non-governmental organizations that are prepared to help fight for religious freedom all around the world.
Do you anticipate seeing movement in countries like Turkey, like North Korea? I mean, do you really think that during this Trump administration that we're going to see movement?
We've seen some already. A good case in point would be Uzbekistan, that has begun to move in the right direction. Tony, you know this is a long march, but absent leadership, absent the State Department engaging in this as an important priority, we know that the likelihood of it happening is less so. So we'll work in every place to raise the awareness of the centrality of religious freedom, not only for individual human dignity, but for the success of nations as well.
What great encouragement and remarks from U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking to Family Research Council President Tony Perkins last week. And this is just not something that happens every day or ever, really, in the case of having this ministerial to advance religious freedom with leaders from 80 countries around the world. And Secretary Pompeo is someone who deeply understands what religious freedom is, why it matters, and the importance of spreading it, not just maintaining it in the United States, but helping other countries come to understand the value and the importance of religious freedom. We cannot ever take our freedoms for granted, and we have to do a better job of explaining, especially to young people in our own country, what freedom of religion means, not freedom from religion, and that the First Amendment is about more than just protecting Christians or evangelicals' right to worship. It's about all Americans, whether you are religious or not religious. It's about the government not being able to force you to believe things or to think or to act differently or contrary to your sincerely held beliefs. It's not merely a right to worship or a right to think how you want within four walls of a church on a Sunday morning. It's about preserving the right to live and work according to your deeply held beliefs every single day. And when countries understand that and protect that right, they're not only safeguarding religious freedom, but they're protecting and advancing peace and prosperity as well. And that's something that our United States Religious Freedom Ambassador, Sam Brownback, understands. And he also spoke at the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom last week. And in his remarks to those in attendance, he really articulates on the importance of religious freedom, and he does an incredible job of capturing the good and the beauty of religious freedom and what that means and why other countries need to seek to advance and preserve religious freedom in their own countries as well.
We have members of the faith community of Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Sikh, Baha'i, Yazidi, and other groups. We were as inclusive as possible because we wanted to include everyone of every faith or no faith at all, everyone who cares about religious freedom and who will join us in this cause. And all that was intentional because religious freedom really truly is for everyone. It's a right given by God and is a beautiful part of our human dignity. Your presence is an encouragement to people of faith around the world that someone cares about their plight and will fight to promote and defend their freedom. Your presence speaks to the importance of religious freedom. Yet, unfortunately, a large majority of the world live in countries or areas where the freedom to practice their own faith is severely limited, prohibited, or in extreme cases, deadly. People across the globe are being oppressed, brutalized, and killed for seeking to practice their faith or live according to their beliefs. Others face persecution, discrimination, and harassment. This cannot be allowed to continue. Last month, I went to Nigeria, where I saw up close the terrible destruction by terrorism of faith communities, scores of Christians and Muslims killed. In Burma, the situation in northern Rakhine State constitutes ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya, a religious minority. In Iraq, religious minority groups of Yazidis and Christians victimized by ISIS are still in dire needs of security and assistance. In Turkey, Pastor Andrew Brunson remains wrongfully imprisoned on false charges. In China, large number of Uyghur Muslims are being sent to re-education camps. Tibetan Buddhists face significant restrictions in organizing their own faith. And Christian house church leaders are imprisoned. The lack of religious freedom anywhere is a threat to peace, prosperity, and stability everywhere. The right to freedom of religion and the ability to live according to the dictates of your own soul is under attack in the world. This must change. And that's why you're here. This is a noble cause, but it's also a very practical one. Where religious freedom is promoted, economic opportunity grows, security increases, and people flourish. Countries seeking to be more free and economically prosperous must devote themselves to protecting this fundamental right of humanity. Protection for this freedom, along with the freedoms of peaceful assembly, association, and expression, are foundations for a flourishing society. So ours is a great task. If successful, more people around the world will experience a burst of freedom that they have never known, a freedom that will yield great improvements for humanity and an expanding atmosphere of peace. We cannot afford to fail. Let us redouble our efforts to expand religious freedom. Now, here's where you come in. We need you in this cause. If we're to make progress, we need more people to get in the ring, to fight for religious freedom, and to advance it worldwide. We need all of you and many more.
It's hard to articulate it any better than that. Ambassador Brownback is spot on. Religious freedom is for everyone. It is a right given by God, embedded in our human dignity, and the lack of religious freedom anywhere is a threat to peace and prosperity everywhere. And that is why Nebraska Family Alliance exists, not just to preserve religious freedom, which is a constant battle, but to have religious freedom celebrated, to see it advanced, to see it cherished and understood properly, not just as a right to worship or think what you want in your own mind, but to live and work every day according to your sincerely held beliefs. And we see legislation introduced every year in our own state legislature that would threaten that right and your very freedoms that you enjoy today. And that is why we need more people in our alliance signed up to receive our emails and get our action alerts so that you are in the know and can get timely, up-to-date, accurate information on bills that will directly impact you, your family, and your church, and what you can do to make a difference. Being engaged starts with being informed, and policy battles are won by those who show up. So if you haven't already done so, please visit Nebraska Family Alliance, join our e-network, and join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life. Our religious liberties are so much more than just the right to believe what we choose. They are priceless freedoms that have been bought with the lives of countless Americans, and we need your help to keep defending it in Nebraska and keep our state a place where God is honored, marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. Whether it's policies written by your local school board, an ordinance signed by your mayor, policies crafted by state representatives, or laws passed by Congress, public policies affect you and your family. They lay the foundation for the future of our children and grandchildren. And that's why Nebraska Family Alliance is committed to influencing policy and representing your voice at the state capitol for family, freedom, and life. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.